Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. We'd like to offer a special welcome to our new viewers joining us on RFD-TV. Our guest this week is Pennsylvania Republican Glenn G.T. Thompson, who joins us to discuss the House Ag Committee's plans for the upcoming Farm Bill. But first, here's this week's headlines. A pair of new faces are now at the helm of the federal government's agricultural trade efforts. The Senate confirmed two key trade officials as it wrapped up its 2022 business. Alexis Taylor was confirmed as USDA's Trade Undersecretary, and Doug McCaleb was confirmed as the new Chief Ag Negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative. The Biden administration wrapped up 2022 with a new proposed Waters of the U.S. rule, and ag groups are already sounding the alarm. Farm groups are worried the language could include acreage critical to agriculture despite an exemption included in the proposal. The rule could face even more changes once the Supreme Court issues an opinion in the Sackett versus EPA case later this year. And finally, the issues of the narrow governing majority facing House Republicans took just hours to materialize this week. A vote to elect a House Speaker became a drawn-out process requiring multiple ballots for the first time in 100 years. The delay keeps anything from happening in the chamber, including the formation of the Agriculture Committee, which will be charged with reauthorizing the Farm Bill. The man set to lead that process is Glenn Thompson. During his six terms on the House Ag Committee, he has watched the Farm Bill fail on the House floor twice. With disagreement in the Republican Party publicly playing out this week on the House floor, we asked Thompson how he plans to keep that from happening again.
Well, I think a number of ways, and I started in some of those strategies in 117th Congress as ranking member, and that is member education. You know, I've conducted, and we'll be doing lots of those going forward in a bipartisan way, member informational sessions where, you know, be able to come in, present some information, and then take the, you know, hear what their concerns are and to be able to address those concerns. Because a lot of it is, when it comes to the Farm Bill, I think there's just, any type of legislation, you don't know what you don't know. And so so it's equipping people with the knowledge. I think that's step one. Other, you know, and there's been different pathways for different Farm Bills. You're right, I had the privilege of being part of the 2014, 2018 Farm Bills that were enacted. All those had some unique situations that occurred as a result. But in the end, we got it done, and we got it done in a bipartisan way.
Well, it wasn't just in the House of Representatives that we saw some news this week that could potentially impact the upcoming Farm Bill. Over in the Senate, we saw Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow announce that she plans to retire at the end of her current term, meaning she's got two more years in the Senate. Wondering how you think that will affect the overall process and politics of getting a Farm Bill done on time.
Well, I don't think it'll impact it specifically, but I think I'm, you know, if the senator's going to retire, I'm glad it wasn't immediately. I'm glad it's, it'll be in the next term. That means that we'll continue to be able to work together. I've appreciate her leadership and work on with agriculture. We worked together in the closing of the 117th Congress to get some significant things done in the realm of agriculture. I'm really appreciative of her service, and I'm glad she's going to be here as we work hard to be able to complete an on-time and very effective Farm Bill here in the 118th Congress.
Another issue that's going to be facing this upcoming Congress is of course, the debt ceiling debate expected to happen yet this year. And there's many conservatives that say they're looking to leverage that debate into spending cuts. And the last time we saw, or not the last time, but a previous time that we saw something similar happen, long story short, there was about $23 billion in spending cuts in the Farm Bill that came shortly after that. How do you address that? And is that something you're worried could happen again?
Well, I think the debt... it's only right and fitting that when we talk about debt ceiling, we do look long-term on how can we get to a balanced budget? How can we basically restore some fiscal responsibility? It's for 4 years now, quite frankly, it's been out of control, the amount of spending. Part of that was COVID. you know, something in our generations we've never really faced as a nation before. But soon after that, that amount of massive spending just continued and actually made matters worse. And so it's going to be an interesting situation to look at, because there's an awful lot of money out there that there could be some rescissions, repurposed monies that have been authorized either by and appropriated either by Congress or, quite frankly, unilaterally by the administration, all in the agriculture space, let alone other areas. You know, those monies will be on the table. Perhaps there'll be some resources. I don't get too far ahead on the funding aspect of it. I think what's most important is we start out, and maybe this is my healthcare background, Spencer. You know, I never prescribed treatment or had any of my team do that until we did a good thorough assessment.
We'll be right back to continue our Farm Bill conversation with Chairman-elect Glenn Thompson right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahe build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
At Bayer, we know possibility grows from the seed of a vision. That you can start small and still reach big dreams. That we can nurture the future in our schools to create innovations down the road. That rural communities aren't just farms, but all the people they feed. That's why Bayer partners with farmers to protect those ideas. Because together, we're tending tomorrow's harvest.
Welcome back. Farm bills have traditionally passed with bipartisan support. House Ag Committee Chairman-elect Glenn G.T. Thompson says he hopes to make sure both sides of the aisle are willing to support the upcoming legislation.
It is the number one industry in many of the congressional districts, certainly many of the Republican congressional districts. And as I started out by saying, it is the number one industry that all of our constituents rely on and benefit from several times every day. It doesn't matter if you represent a large metropolitan area or a very rural district like mine, you know, 17 members from Pennsylvania, and I represent a full third of the Keystone State. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's what people need. And so part of that is making sure we're messaging and we're pointing out the importance of this industry and the needs of the hardworking families that work so hard, not just to produce, obviously, livestock or commodities, but our processors, everyone within that agriculture supply chain that, at the end of the day, provide us with all the things that I would consider, you know, essential in our lives.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about a couple other subjects before we wrap up here with you. One of those being the Biden administration's rollout of the Waters of the U.S. rule there at the tail end of 2022. You and a number of your colleagues had asked previous committee chairman David Scott to bring EPA Administrator Michael Regan before the House Ag Committee during the 117th Congress. Now, as the chairman-elect in the 118th, is that going to be a priority for you, getting the Environmental Protection Agency before the House Ag Committee?
It is. And I've had communications with Administrator Regan. I, his father was a farmer from North Carolina. I think Administrator Regan has a feel for agriculture, although unfortunately with the WOTUS rule that was put out, I got to wonder if we would have had those hearings, had that conversation formally, if we couldn't have influenced, a better final rule than what they've released. They re-emphasize that there are some traditional agriculture exemptions, and that's great, you know, provide some sunlight on that. That I think that's helpful. But the Agriculture Committee is responsible for really all of rural America. My challenge is the EPA is to show me where the problem is. And I also thought it was a little myopic not to wait for the Supreme Court to come out with their ruling on the Sackett case, Sackett versus the EPA, and which really could touch the very heart of that. What is that nexus that makes something a navigable water? I don't think it's water that lies in a field makes it navigable. And so, uh, So I think the EPA got it out of, over its skis a little bit ahead of itself. But we'll this is certainly an issue we'll be looking at and working on.
Well, a busy agenda facing Congress and the House Agriculture Committee in this 118th Congress. And the man that's going to be leading it, Pennsylvania's Glenn Thompson. Thanks for joining us.
Spencer, thanks so much. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel. But first, our Hannah Pagel checks in with a farmer from the field.
This week, we hear from California rancher Marky Jones, who is curious about the work of a federal government advisory committee.
The Environmental Protection Agency recently announced the appointment of members to the Farm Ranch Rural Advisory Committee. What is the committee planning on taking on in the next few years?
Thanks for your question, Marky. The EPA says it is looking for advice on a range of environmental issues and policies that are important to agriculture and rural communities. EPA's Farm, Ranch, and Rural Advisory Committee and its 37 members are scheduled to meet later this month in Washington. There is no public agenda quite yet, but we expect the topics to include nutrient management, food waste, and greenhouse gas emissions. If you'd like to see your question answered on the show, send an email to newsmakers@agripulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Every morning, American corn farmers roll their sleeves up and start the work of growing a better future, one bushel at a time, with America's crop. A better future made possible by their unmatched sustainability practices and the extraordinary benefits and uses of corn throughout the global economy. And the National Corn Growers Association proudly supports and advocates for all they do, year in and year out.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. Excited to be joined this week to continue our conversation about the 118th Congress with a panel of experts who will be working quite a bit with that body, joined by Randy Russell of the Russell Group, Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and Ann McMillan with Invariant. Appreciate all of you taking a little bit of time to join us. And Ethan, I want to go to you first because it was the big question going into the 118th Congress, and it took just a few hours to realize that it was going to be a prevalent question going forward as we watch the speakership drama unfold on the House floor. I guess it's a big, broad, probably million-dollar question, but are Republicans, or how are Republicans going to be able to govern in the House of Representatives given this narrow majority and given the kind of folks that are making up that narrow majority?
Well, I think it's going to be a challenge. I think this is something that has been brewing for far longer than people give it credit. These are a lot of dynamics that I think have shaped up over more than a decade in Republican politics. And we're seeing some of those kind of really come to a head here at the beginning of this Congress. But I think the reality is for those of us in the industry side of things, or the trade association side of things, we are trying to figure out what that means for achieving just block and tackle priorities, getting the government funded. Obviously, a farm bill coming up this year presents a challenge. There are a lot of new members that are not in the mood to say yes to really anything coming out of the gate here. And I think that's going to be a pretty big education lift for a lot of us here in the advocacy community to help them understand why some of these things are important and why it's important to not just come to Washington to say no.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's talk about that farm bill that Ethan mentioned there, Randy, because obviously there was a lot of questions about the politics facing that process going forward. Then this week, we see the speakership drama on the House floor. We see Senator Stabenow announce that she's not planning to run for re-election. How have the last 3 or 4 days kind of shaped your opinion on the politics facing the farm bill process this upcoming cycle?
This is the most evenly divided Congress that we have had in the history of this country, with a 4-vote margin in the House and basically a 51-49 in the Senate. It's going to be a huge challenge to get a farm bill done. Having said that, and despite the drama that we have witnessed here the last couple of days on the House floor, I do think, given the very narrow margin in the House, it's going to require Chairman Thompson, Chairman-elect Thompson, I should say, soon to be Chairman Thompson, to reach across the aisle and work with several of his colleagues on the Democratic side to get a bill out of committee and to get a bill off the House floor. That actually should make it a little less difficult. I didn't say easier, less difficult to ultimately work out a difference between a House and Senate farm bill. I do think with the announcement just a bit ago about Senator Stabenow not seeking re-election, I do think that is going to end up complicating to some degree passage of the farm bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Randy mentioned the working with Democrats that many Republican leaders will need to do in this upcoming cycle. But Ann, let's bring you into the fold for that thought. As we look at the kind of Republican disunity that we've seen this week, what leverage, if any, do you think that gives Democrats, not only in farm policy, but really in Congress more broadly?
Well, I mean, I think it gives us a little bit of room here to flex some muscles. You know, it is not easy to govern with a very slim majority. The Democrats had that last cycle and it was rough in the House. And, you know, I think taking those lessons into the 118th Congress, I think, you know, Democrats will show up pretty unified and we'll be able to have our ducks in a row and, you know, be able to show that we are needed and that Democrats are and our priorities are needed in order to advance a farm bill across the finish line. And so I think that, you know, I'm with Randy. I don't think there's a huge change in the scope from even the last couple of days and even with the Senator Stabenow announcement. But I do think, you know, nothing gets easier, right? It just gets a little less difficult or maybe a little bit more difficult. But, you know, I still see a good prognosis for the farm bill across the finish line.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. House Republicans have a long to-do list in the 118th Congress, including oversight of the executive branch. Farm policy lobbyist Randy Russell says he expects that to be a big part of committee activity going forward.
Look, that is something that needs to be done. I mean, one of the basic functions of a committee chair is to do a proper oversight of programs that are under your jurisdiction. So I think we're going to see a lot of that out of the Republican-controlled House as we move forward. I think, Spencer, the big issue to watch as we get into this year is what's going to happen on the debt ceiling. Sometime we expect in the second half of the year, Congress is going to have to deal with either suspending or raising the debt ceiling. And it looks like as part of the negotiation over the speakership, the 20 that have held out in support of McCarthy have asked and demanded that there be a separate up or down vote on the debt ceiling. And I think that is going to be something to watch very, very closely because that group and many other Republicans want to use the debt ceiling to try to get reductions in spending in entitlement programs as well as discretionary spending. And I think that is going to be a huge focal point as we get into the fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, obviously we want this show to, you know, carry the latest and greatest in farm policy news and developments, but we also want it to be somewhat educational about just how Washington works. And that's where I'll bring you in here, Ethan, because, you know, we see a lot of discussions and a lot of, you know, drama in the formation of the House of Representatives. But I guess, can you just kind of take us into the to-do list of a lobbyist right now? As you watch all of this unfold, frankly, what are you able to do and accomplish as you wait for the House of Representatives to kind of organize itself?
Well, look, at the beginning of a new Congress and the last Congress, we didn't really have the opportunity to do this, but we're kind of back to normal, at least in that regard. You know, the biggest job in the first week is making sure you're getting in front of those new members that are setting up their offices, helping them understand how your organization fits into the ecosystem, making sure they know how to get a hold of you, reconnecting with member offices that you've had existing relationships with. It's really a week to just kind of level set for the new Congress. And that's what me and my team have spent the week doing. Obviously, a lot of that has been also information sharing and just sort of general gossip about, the mess that we've seen unfolding on the Hill. But, I mean, that really is kind of, the starter's pistol for this Congress. And it is productive. You know, it's amazing how many conversations we've all had. I guarantee that that Ann and Randy have had the same kind of week as far as just how many people you've seen and connected with and you know, exchanged information with that maybe you hadn't seen as much over the last few months. It really is an important kind of first step in a new Congress, and that's how we've spent our week.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, as Ethan talks about level setting and some conversations that happen on Capitol Hill, obviously I can't imagine folks had a very lofty legislative outlook headed into this Congress, but how have the last few days shaped what you think is going to be coming out of this particular session of Congress?
Well, I mean, I just want to remind everybody that there are two houses. There's a House and the Senate. The Senate, just for everyone's reminder, is functioning just fine. They swore in all the senators. I talked to Senator Sabinow's staff director yesterday before the news she was leaving. They're full steam ahead on farm bill hearings. They're hoping to get one, possibly two, before the February recess. So it's not a total stalemate. I do think the drama on the House floor has sucked a lot of the air out of the room, but you know, Washington is still moving along, just not a little bit more bumpy than I think anybody had expected. But you know, I agree with Ethan and that there, you know, this is a week to like get everybody back in town, get your bearings straight, and start putting the wheels in motion. And I think a lot of us in D.C. have never seen anything like this on the House floor. But that being notwithstanding, it's time to get to work and like let's move it along, right? It's January. It's a new year. You know, Tuesday was the first day of school for us, and we're getting ready to plow ahead.
Well, certainly no shortage of things to keep a very close eye on as we watch the House of Representatives and the Senate, as Ann pointed out, unfold here in the 118th Congress. If this first week is any indication, it's going to be quite the session for all of us to keep a close eye on. We appreciate all of you joining us to share your thoughts. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pegel takes a look at a rising farm labor statistic in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
The last Congress failed to pass farm labor legislation that would make changes to the H-2A visa program in order to fill the growing demand for farm jobs. The program allows ag employers who anticipate a shortage of domestic applicants to bring foreign workers to the U.S. to perform temporary agricultural jobs. This chart shows how the program has grown, increasing from just under 51,000 in 2007 to 258,000 in 2021. The program has grown partially in response to American workers finding jobs outside of agriculture and a drop in newly arrived immigrants who are seeking U.S. farm jobs. The House passed the Farm Workforce Modernization Act in each of the last two sessions of Congress, but Colorado Democrat Michael Bennett's Senate version of the bill did not pass the chamber in December. As Republicans take control of the House in the 118th Congress, it does not look like there will be any movement on farm labor legislation absent a Republican and Democratic agreement on comprehensive immigration reform. So farm groups may have missed their shot. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pegel.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this farm bill coverage.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Our Philip Brasher will be in San Juan, Puerto Rico for the annual gathering of the American Farm Bureau Federation. We'll also be watching for two key reports on Thursday, a new consumer price index and the latest world agricultural supply and demand estimates. As always, AgriPulse.com is your best bet for the latest in ag and rural policy. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.